Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. Inflation still hot. The Consumer Price Index showing higher prices are not coming down as fast as policymakers want.
We're not making progress on inflation.
On Capitol Hill, Wally Adeyemo, Deputy Treasury Secretary, is urging Congress to crack down on crypto crimes.
Those cyber criminals who are doing ransomware attacks, they're almost exclusively doing them in cryptocurrency.
And an engineer at Boeing turned whistleblower. Scrutiny on the assembly line and problems across the industry. We'll check in with former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt.
I think the culture is not just at Boeing. I think it's across the airline industry. The airlines themselves need to rethink.
All that today, plus a change for Scrabble, big basketball ratings, and Intel's unveiled a new AI chip.
Is it Gaudi?
I don't know for sure, but that would be...
Is it Gaudi?
I think it's Gaudi.
It's Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Becky by in 3, 2, 1, cue, please.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We are live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Becky Quick, along with Andrew Ross Sorkin. Joe is out this week. We have been watching, though. This is the big day. We've got CPI coming up, and ahead of that...
Today's top headline, that Consumer Price Index. The CPI, a broad measure of goods and services across the economy, rose 3.5% in the last month from a year ago. That's higher than expectations, a surprise for many economists. CNBC's Rick Santelli broke out the numbers and the rise on a monthly basis.
This doesn't seem like it's cooling very quickly here. 0.4 if you strip out food and energy, back-to-back 0.4s last month as well.
The data comes as markets are on edge, and the Federal Reserve is cautiously deciding monetary policy. With data this hot and inflation this persistent, economists are pushing out their own projections for the Fed's next interest rate cut. Vanguard's global chief economist Joe Davis said today, the economy just isn't ready.
The data coming in both on the labor market as well as today's inflation report say, just be careful of racing too soon to cut. There are still embers of inflation here and there in the economy.
Our Rick Santelli and Steve Leisman and Betsy Stevenson, former chief economist for the Labor Department, joined Becky Quick to analyze the report.
I don't understand how all these economists around the world, all these smart people, can say we're making progress. We're not making progress on inflation. It's pretty much really comfy, at least based on CPI readings, right here.
Betsy, you want to take that on? I mean, look, this is not one month of data. This is not one one data point that you can write off as being a one-off. I mean, this is a number of points. And yes, you're right. We have seen a stronger jobs market under all of this. There are other issues that point to a stronger economy. But the inflation issue is persistent.
You know, I think that most economists, if you've been listening, have been saying that bringing down inflation in goods was going to be easier than bringing down inflation in services, that service inflation was going to lag, because what drives service inflation is the fact it is labor costs and people looking around and realizing, oh, prices have gone up. Now my wages can't buy as much as they used to. I need you to make me whole. I need you to give me a raise. And we're seeing that stickiness in services. And what we want to make sure is that that doesn't create a wage price spiral. I don't think we're at a wage price spiral, but at the same time, it's getting that down, getting down all the way from, I really do think it's a last mile problem. And I also, I know this is a really unpopular thing to say, but you know what, inflation in the threes is not that bad. And I think we have to, you know, take it,
it
at the right
stacked
pace
on top of
and
the massive
back
inflation
down.
We saw at this point.
Bad.
Betsy, it is. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just inflation in its threes is not that bad unless you stack it on top of the massive inflation that we saw for the couple of years leading into this. That's where you get it. It's not that prices not only don't come down, it's that they continue to build on 40-year highs in terms of inflation.
I completely understand that people are very unhappy about the level of prices and that having had a history of higher inflation recently after a many decade history of people just not being used to inflation has left people incredibly unhappy. But we also need to be careful in thinking about how hard we go at trying to bring inflation down. You know, I think that the Fed is doing what they need to do. There are lots of people been screaming that they should cut for a while. They're holding. And I think that we need patience to get this last mile done.
The bottom line right now, inflation has stalled. A Federal Reserve with a hard 2% target cannot cut into this environment. It is locked in by its rhetoric. It's locked in by its policy because inflation has indeed stalled at this level for whatever reason. It could be a matter of the money supply. There could be some one-offs. I'm not exactly sure, for example, what's happening, why motor vehicle insurance is going up by 2.6% on a monthly basis, which is a very high annualized rate.
That's just a rolling impact. As those higher... As state by state, as insurance companies are allowed to raise their rates month by month, you're going to see that roll in as people's premiums turn over.
If that's the case, though, Becky, that's a one-off effect as it works through the system.
It will play out over the course of a year.
Right, but it won't necessarily keep going. At some point, all of these states are going to come in ostensibly towards the beginning of the year. If that's a one-off, that's not my problem. My problem is you have the energy, the commodity prices are higher. There's the concern that those filter into core measures of inflation. The Fed hawks who are out there.
Or that you then get into the wage price spiral, as Betsy was mentioning
before.
Yeah,
I don't think we're there with that. I don't see wages pushing inflation at this point. But what you are seeing is you're seeing the effects of a hotter economy. The danger right now is this, and I'll stop here, is that the Fed has gotten away, the U.S. economy has gotten away with bringing down inflation with growth being relatively high and unemployment remaining low. That has been counter to the theories of how inflation can and often does come down. The danger right now is the Fed views this as, hey, we really have to slow this economy. We can't keep going with unemployment below 4% to get back to our target.
Okay, so I want to ask you about, I don't know how to pronounce this. Intel has now introduced a new chip. It's a new AI chip. And is it Gaudi?
Gaudi, I was going to say. I don't know for sure, but that would be...
Is it Gaudi?
I think it's Gaudi.
But could it be Gaudi?
Would you want to call your chip Gaudi?
I don't know. It's called Gaudi or Gaudi 3. It says the new chip is twice as power efficient and can run AI models 1.5 times faster than a comparable chip from a competitor, that, of course, being NVIDIA.
Now I want to know. But I'm assuming Gaudi? Gaudi? I don't know. I'm going to look it up, try and figure it out. A longtime employee at Boeing taking his concerns public yesterday. Engineer Sam Salapour alleged that the plane maker took manufacturing shortcuts on the 787 Dreamliner in order to ease production bottlenecks. He said factory workers wrongly measured and filled gaps that can occur when airframe segments are joined together. That process could create fatigue in the material that could in turn reduce the life of the plane. Salapour has not produced documentation, and Boeing disputes those allegations. It says concerns have been subject to rigorous examination under FAA oversight. The FAA said it will investigate those claims, and you can see shares of Boeing, which are up 30 cents this morning, still very rough year for Boeing, already down 31% for the year to date. Then this morning, the Associated Press is reporting that the CEO, Dave Calhoun, has been summoned to testify on Capitol Hill next week over the safety of his company's aircraft. We'll be speaking to former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt about this and much more. Get this, folks. The audience for Monday's NCAA Men's Basketball Championship rose slightly from last year's low. It brought in an average of 14.8 million viewers. The most watched game of the men's tournament, though, wasn't even in the Final Four. It was the Elite Eight matchup between NC State and Duke, which brought in 15 million viewers. But every men's game was eclipsed this year's by this year's women's title game. That game brought in 18.9 million viewers, making it the most watched basketball game of any kind in 5 years. First of all, phenomenal to see the draw that women's sports has. I will also say, though, it was on at an earlier hour. I tried to stay up for the NCAA, I mean, for the final, for the championship Monday game night. On UConn Monday night. That game didn't start till 9 o'clock Eastern time. Yep. So I was able to watch the first half and a little teeny tiny bit beyond that. But that is too late for us.
I don't know why they don't
coast
move. They could move it. It would be better for them. It would be better for everybody if they just moved it.
Well, except for on the West Coast, I understand that it's a big deal for them on the West Coast. That starts at 6 p.m. That's pretty early. But that's not when the Super Bowl airs. It goes early.
Not impossible to start at 6 p.m. Eastern or Western.
Cheese will be next.
Coming up on Squawk Pod, the Biden administration urging Congress to approve new regulatory tools to crack down on crypto crimes. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo joins us on reining in virtual currencies and what he's asking of lawmakers.
We also need a tool that allows us to go after some of these bad actors who are claiming to be dollar-backed but trying to escape U.S. jurisdiction.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
You're listening to Squawk Pod from CNBC. Let's get back into the show.
I'm Becky Quick, along with Andrew Ross Sorkin. Joe is out today.
Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo will warn Congress about Treasury's fear that terrorist groups will increase their use of cryptocurrency and digital assets unless Congress approves new regulatory rules. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo joins us this morning. Good morning to you. Help us understand, you know, we've heard from your boss, Secretary Yellen, about her worries about cryptocurrencies for quite some time. But what are the regulations that you think need to be put in place to prevent the illicit use of cryptocurrency?
Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you. And I think part of what we need Congress to do is simply update the regulatory authorities they've given us over the last 30 years. And when they design things like the Bank Secrecy Act, we didn't have cryptocurrency or digital assets, and we need to make sure that those definitions are now captured within the Bank Secrecy Act and the other legislation that we use to both regulate but also go after bad actors. We also need a tool that allows us to go after some of these bad actors who are claiming to be dollar-backed but trying to escape U.S. jurisdiction. And I think a great example that'll matter to your viewers is if you're a CEO of a company or you're investing in a company, one of the things you're most worried about is cybersecurity risk. Those cyber criminals who are doing ransomware attacks, they're almost exclusively doing them in cryptocurrency. And what our data has shown is that it's almost doubled the amount of money that they have received using cryptocurrency from 2022 to 2023, which is one of the reasons we need these new tools.
Well, you have been very concerned about cryptocurrency for a very long time. And I do wonder what the shift in terms of the SEC's even approach to things like Bitcoin, how that has changed your view, or if it changes your view about Bitcoin or the like, now that it has truly become mainstream, and I would argue has reached escape velocity, whether the regulators are catching up with it or not.
I think the regulators are doing everything we can with the tools we already have, and I think what we need from Congress is additional tools to make sure that we build a regulatory environment that allows those people who want to transact safely within the digital ecosystem to do so, but also gives us the tools to be able to catch bad actors, be they terrorists, be they ransomware actors or drug dealers who want to use this ecosystem to try and illicitly move money as well.
Let me ask you this. This is a Bloomberg Law opinion piece. It says the Department of Treasury's annual report on terrorism financing finds the instances of crypto-related terrorism funding are, quote, less prevalent than those involving traditional financial assets. The Treasury points out that U.S. banks, quote, remain one of the primary avenues by which terrorist groups attempt to move funds in or through the United States. And lauds a recent trend of using increasingly sophisticated automated transaction monitoring tools to help the banks identify the suspicious activity. The reason I raise this is crypto bulls, if you will, those proponents of cryptocurrencies say, you know what, why are you always worried about cryptocurrencies? It's a tiny piece of this, and the real problem is still in the actual banking system. It's still U.S. dollars that are being used for illicit purposes.
So, Andrew, that's true, and I think the thing that we are signaling to Congress is we're afraid that that risk is only growing, because as we clamp down on the risk in the traditional banking sector, what you know well, because you've covered these issues for a long time, is that people then go to less regulated spaces because that's where they think that they can hide out. And what we're saying is that as we go after terrorist groups and we cut off their access to the traditional financial sector, they're going to use other new tools like cryptocurrency to try and move their money illicitly. And the best example remains what's happening when it comes to ransomware attacks, where almost exclusively those attacks today are being done using cryptocurrency. We don't want that to happen when it comes to terrorism. We don't want that to happen when it comes to illegal drug trade. And that's why we went to Congress to ask for these new tools.
What kind of help are you getting or not from the Coinbases and Circles of the world?
So we talk to them on a regular basis. And they want, and they've told us, they want a regulatory environment that they can use to develop an industry that isn't keeping with the laws that we've created. One of the challenges they have, of course, is they want to make sure that they're playing on a level playing field. That's why one of our requests is to make sure that we have the ability to go after firms that may be claiming to be dollar-backed, but also trying to skirt U.S. jurisdiction in order to make sure that firms in the United States that are following the rules are able to compete on a level playing field, because one of the challenges we have, of course, in the crypto ecosystem is that many of these firms are claiming to have no jurisdiction when, in fact, they're taking advantage of everything from the dollar to our financial system.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo, appreciate it. Thank you.
Up next on Squawk Pod, an engineer turned whistleblower at Boeing, pointing to issues in the aircraft assembly line. Former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt underscores workplace culture for airplane safety.
It has to be every day when you go to work at Boeing, you should be in there working to make the best, safest aircraft possible and not be worried about putting your hand up and saying we're going too fast or something.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to Squawk Pod, today with Becky Quick and Andrew Ross Sorkin.
Boeing once again facing an investigation by the FAA into claims by an engineer turned whistleblower now about flaws in the production of the 787 Dreamliner. Joining us right now is former FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt. Good morning to you, Randy. You know, it just seems like this is like a steady parade of whistleblowers, of new information that's coming to light. Does this change your view at all about how the FAA deals with Boeing?
No, I think Boeing's history is certainly coming under a great deal of scrutiny right now. They've had a number of incidents. And of course, once one begins, the spotlight gets on them. But the FAA's oversight continues. These aircraft are tested beyond belief in construction and design. And there's nothing wrong with somebody pointing out what they see to be a problem. And the correct response to that is to look into it. And I think that's what they're doing.
What do you think about what's happening, though, at Boeing from the governance perspective? You know, they're going to obviously be putting a new CEO in place. Do you think there's a culture problem there?
I think, you know, there's a lot of changes have been made in the recent years. You know, the technology has changed somewhat, a lot more reliance on high tech and a lot of integrated systems that require different testing. And I think that it's part of a growing curve. And but I think it, at its core, and I think Boeing, rightfully so, is addressing the issue. They've had some clearly in the public's eye, some confidence loss, and I think they're taking steps to fix that. And at the same time, they need to, you know, having the change in the picture is one thing, but changing the reality behind the picture is even more important, that they do address some of the culture. It has to be, every day when you go to work at Boeing, you should be in there working to make the best, safest aircraft possible, and not be worried about putting your hand up and saying we're going too fast or something. That's part of a good culture, a good trusting culture. And I think they can do make some good strides to move in that direction.
Randy, the issue that's been, or the charges against Boeing from the whistleblower and from other arenas has been that they have put profits above safety. Does that ring true to you?
Well, I don't know enough of the inner workings to say that. I mean, obviously, every corporation wants to make a profit, but sacrificing safety on the road to profit, that's not a good step for an airline or an aircraft manufacturer. Safety is the top priority. Now, look back at history. We haven't lost an airplane in this country in 13 years, and that accident was caused by an improperly trained pilot, not the aircraft. So we're building remarkably safe aircraft. And when they build them, if you ever go out and watch the test facilities, they literally test these airplanes to the point of failure. They put twice as much stress as they'll ever face an actual flight before they fail. And if they don't, then you have to redesign the airplane. So obviously these aircraft have passed all the tests that are required. And, you know, so we're moving forward in that direction. Boeing clearly does have a spotlight on them to the point that I think if a seat cushion slipped or something, it would probably be reported in the press. But I think they're taking, I see the positive steps is Boeing is taking some very good steps in the right direction. And the key is to continue it, not just for a week or two while it's in the news, but for years.
Randy, the question that I'd ask is maybe slightly different, which is, you know, let's take Boeing out of it. Part of the role of the FAA is not only to keep everybody safe, but safe in actuality, but also for people to feel safe. There's just more, and I don't know if you think there's more reporting about this today. There's more reporting about near misses. And look, as you said, the last 13 years have been remarkable. Knock on wood, every day that it stays that way. But you know, we see these near misses at different airports and the like. We have these issues with Boeing. Is there something that's missing? Is it a budget issue around what the FAA needs to be doing, a different approach to making sure that none of these things even come close?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the underlying problems, go back to COVID, and everybody, whether it was an airline and manufacturer, everybody suddenly had way too many employees, and they offered early outs, they offered early retirements, bonuses to leave. And the airline, when COVID recovered, we found ourselves with the traffic coming back much faster than anybody anticipated. So you have a lot of senior people with experience that were mentoring and so forth, gone, retired, being replaced by people who have accelerated. It doesn't matter whether you're an FAA inspector or an airline captain or a senior flight attendant. It doesn't matter. Any of those people have certainly moved up more quickly in seniority with less time in service than they would have in the past. And I think that's a contributing factor. So I think the culture is not just at Boeing. I think it's across the airline industry. The airlines themselves need to rethink. And there's some good programs out there. You know, there's the FAA uses an aviation safety action program where people are allowed to put their hand up without fear of retribution to point out things. And I think we need to see more of that. People, you know, paying attention to the small things and reporting
Randy, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I don't know if that's supposed to, if I feel better or worse right now, since now it's not just Boeing, but we do appreciate your perspective on all of it, because you've got a lot of it, and we hope to talk to you again very soon. Thanks. A couple of headlines to tell you about. I don't know how much you send a lot of postage mail, because the U.S. Postal Service is now seeking to raise the price of a stamp by a nickel. That would be the fourth increase since the start of 2023 and bring the price of a first-class stamp to 73 cents. The Postal Service said that the increases are necessary because of the rising cost of delivering mail. If approved, the hike would take effect on July 14th.
I mean, we just had another rate increase in January, but this is part of the inflationary issues. If the Postal Service is saying it costs much more to be able to deliver that stuff now, it's the same thing the insurers are saying. People are saying, I don't want to pay anymore. Well, it's costing them more to fix the cars, to fix the homes, to go through it.
I'm kind of okay with it. 73 cents is very cheap to move something across the country.
I agree. I thought you were going to take the other side. But it's, you know, this is the insidious nature of inflation, though. It costs a lot of money to do all of the things that we've been used to doing. It's why inflation is such a
dangerous. So what do we think is a fair price for a birthday card to send to somebody?
Oh, the birthday card, $10.
$10
pay to send the right. Because first of all, I pay a fatter one than I usually.
Well, these days you're already going to spend $6 just
on
the card itself.
I'm all in on the card.
You're all in.
Between the card and the extra postage you're going to have to pay if you buy one of the fatter cards, it's probably a $10 thing to send somebody. I don't have a lot of people I send birthday cards to, but if I do, I want it to be pretty special.
Do you know there are now services that will send the card for you?
Never.
Never.
Because the biggest thing is it's got to have your handwriting on it.
And they will put your handwriting on it.
I can tell.
I'm going to send you a birthday card from the service and see what happens. Mattel also making a major change to the iconic board game Scrabble. The update adding a second side on the back side of the original board. That's designed for collaborative play instead of competitive play. Players work together to complete goal cards, and there are helper cards if assistance is required. I kind of like
this
version. Mattel's saying the new version will make gameplay faster paced. The company said it conducted research that showed that competitiveness is perceived as declining in younger generations.
Oh, no.
The new version will only be available in Europe, though, so maybe we'll have to get it shipped from there. The game is licensed by rival Hasbro in the U.S. I'm very cool with this, and I like those games, but they are saying that younger kids are not supposed to be. By the way, there's lots of these collaborative games.
I have not seen examples of that. I have seen some pretty competitive. I mean, if you're looking at sports, it's still pretty super competitive.
No, I know, but there's increasingly a lot of board games and other things that are supposed to be collaborative games where nobody really wins. This is a little bit of the everybody gets
thinking,
a trophy kind of thing, I think.
It's cool if you're playing with your kids to teach them how to play Scrabble, but I think eventually you want to flip the board and be like, okay, here's.
Oh, so I need this because I always lose. So I'd like to be with folks who can help me.
That's the pod for today. And a reminder, we are Webby nominees. You can show your support for Squawk Pod by voting for us in the People's Voice competition in our category. It's free. It takes a second. The link to vote is right in our episode notes today. Click it, cast your vote, and spread the word. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern and get the smartest takes and analysis from our TV show right into your ears when you follow Squawk Pod. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow.
We are clear. Thanks, guys.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.